I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Lowe's, get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, install, and more when you spend $2,500 on select major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 2/25 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, Florida. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Baby Bigfoot Behavior by Sam Owell. In 2017, my friend and I were on a Squatch hunt in Colorado, about 6 miles back into the mountains from Boulder. We would go in the winter to avoid any black bear encounters, for safety and to eliminate any chance of mixing up sightings. It was around 2 a.m. in February, deep in the Colorado mountains. We were 10 miles from the nearest light source or human, and ours was the only parked car at the trailhead. We had reached our turnaround spot for the night. On the way in, we had done a few howls and wood knocks, but heard nothing. So we decided to give up the search and just enjoy the hike. Before turning back, my friend went to the bathroom off the trail near some trees. I took the opportunity to look around in the snow for anything of interest. The snow was patchy, but in one spot, I noticed a depression that stood out from the rest of the pack. Upon closer examination, there was a distinct footprint in the snow. It had a defined heel and 5 toes, each curled inward, which suggested movement as the foot walked. The print was about 1 foot long. Looking around, I found another footprint, this time from the opposite foot, about 5 feet away. Then I found another, and another. Each was spaced about 5 feet apart, creating a 10-foot stride. Unfortunately, the snowpack ended, and so did the prints. When my friend returned, I showed him what I found. We stood there discussing the possibilities. Unless someone with a foot-long foot and a 10-foot stride was walking around barefoot in February in Colorado, we were convinced we had stumbled upon something squatchy. We were standing in a clearing in the woods, maybe 50 feet from edge to edge. As we examined the prints on the far right side of the clearing, we suddenly heard something large moving in the brush at the opposite end. Looking up, our flashlight caught a large rock flying through the air, hurling towards us. It landed just to the right of where we were standing. When it hit the ground, it crashed through the trail, snow, and leaf litter. The rock was enormous, probably 30 to 50 pounds, and roughly the size of a pumpkin. Stunned, we shone our flashlight in the direction the rock had come from, but we couldn't see anything. Soon, more rocks, sticks, and pine cones began flying towards us. The intensity of the projectiles increased, and it became clear that something did not want us there. We decided to back out of the area and began walking down the trail. As we approached the bottom of the clearing, a high-pitched, loud whistle came from our left. The sound was coming from high up in the trees, then another whistle, and another. Soon, the whistles were coming in rapid succession. The sound was human-like, not bird-like, and it sent chills down our spines. Meanwhile, the objects being thrown at us seemed to follow us down the trail. The whistling grew louder and faster as we quickened our pace. Occasionally, we stopped to look and listen, but the whistling eventually grew more distant. While the projectiles stopped, we could hear something walking parallel to us, deep in the woods. Whatever it was, it followed us for nearly 2 miles. About a mile from the car, the sound of whatever was pacing us grew louder and closer. With a quick sweep of the flashlight, we caught sight of eyeshine about 30 yards back in the woods. We couldn't make out a figure or features, but the eyes were bright and, judging by their height, around 10 feet off the ground. The sighting was brief, maybe 1 or 2 seconds. Then it was gone. Every hair on our bodies stood straight up. Our nerves were shot. Our hike turned into a light jog. As we cleared the trees, the car came into view, parked about a quarter mile away. Halfway between the woods and the car, we stopped to catch our breath and scan the area. That's when we heard it. A long, low, and very loud bellow coming from the trees behind us. We stood frozen in disbelief for a moment, then walked briskly to the car, giddy with a mix of fear and excitement. We reported the encounter to the BFRO, Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, the next day, and were soon on the phone recounting our story. Apparently, this spot had a history. There were a few other sightings stretching back to the early 90s. What we couldn't determine then, and why I'm telling you this story now, is the nature of the whistling and the kind of aggressive behavior we experienced. Our best guess is a baby Bigfoot was in the trees whistling at us, while an adult chased us off, perhaps its guardian. If anyone can back up this theory or offer another explanation, I'd love to hear it.
Yowies in Australia by SasquatchKid44. I live on the east coast of Australia, near one of many Yowie hotspots. For those unfamiliar, Yowies are essentially the Australian version of the Bigfoot. Their physical descriptions are very similar, but one difference I've noticed from anecdotes is that Yowies tend to have a higher percentage of red or auburn hair. They're also sometimes described as leaner, not as bulky as the paddy type. These variations seem to depend on the location of the sighting. In the snowy mountain regions, we have huge white or gray-haired types with fair skin. In the bush, there are large, dark-haired ones, and further north in Queensland, they tend to have orangutan-like coloring. I've always spent a lot of time outdoors, camping and fishing. Even done multiple solo camping trips deep into the Blue Mountains, one of the most historically active areas for Yowie sightings. While I've experienced the usual feelings of being watched, heard strange noises, and found odd stick and tree structures in remote areas, I've never actually seen a Yowie or convinced myself 100% that they exist. My wife and I often go for hikes and bushwalks in these hot spots, mostly to enjoy nature, though I secretly hope to have an experience. Over the years, I've had minor, seemingly unrelated incidents. For example, once I was walking deep into the woods on an animal trail when I heard a noise off to my left. As I stopped to look, a pebble flew from the complete opposite direction, landing in front of me. It felt as though something was trying to distract me, almost as if I was being toyed with. It was eerily surreal, bordering on the paranormal. Another time, while hiking a muddy trail in the rain, I mentally asked for a sign. I projected the thought that I wasn't there with cameras or ill intentions, only with a desire to know if they existed, so that I could work toward conserving their environment. On my way back down the same trail an hour later, I found a large, perfect white bird feather stuck upright in the middle of the path, right where I asked for the sign. It felt like a gift or a peace offering. I kept that feather in my backpack for a long time. While these incidents aren't evidence of anything concrete, they stick with me, and I've had many similar small experiences. Recently, though, I experienced what felt like a much more significant sign. My wife and I were hiking a remote trail deep in the bush. The closest civilization, apart from the dirt roads, was at least 20 kilometers away. Throughout the hike, I kept hearing what sounded like distant chatter, almost like children laughing and talking faintly, though it was impossible to make out any kind of specific words. It reminded me of the sounds of Aboriginal kids playing, but it was so far off that I wasn't sure. After hiking for about 2 hours, we decided to turn back. As soon as we turned around, there was a loud, distinct tree knock. Both my wife and I stopped in our tracks. Now, she doesn't believe in Yowies, though she knows about the lore because of my interest, but even she admits that it was strange. Half joking, she said, "Imagine it's like a communication method letting others know that we're heading back the way we came." I laughed and said, "Let's turn around again and pretend that we're going to keep going. We'll see if it happens again." We turned and took about 5 steps before hearing another clear, loud knock. At this point, we were surrounded by dense bushland. We couldn't see more than 10 meters into the trees, but the knocking sound was so close, just out of sight. After the second knock, my wife started to get scared. The birds and the insects had gone completely silent. She said, "Okay, that's enough. Let's head back to the car for real." We turned around to leave and barely took 3 steps when there was an enormous cracking sound. It was louder than anything I've ever heard in the bush, like a large tree snapping in half or being pushed down. We couldn't see the tree, but could clearly hear the sound. The sheer volume was disorienting. It was like a gunshot. My wife was visibly shaken and insisted that we leave immediately. I agreed, sensing an almost deliberate message. "Stop playing games. You know we're here, it's time to leave." As we walked back to the car, we talked about the timing and how coincidental everything seemed. Nothing else happened on the way out, and we left the area without any further incident. To me, the paranormal aspect of these creatures is hard to discount, They seem capable of communicating in ways that are clear to those involved, but leave no tangible evidence for third parties. It reminds me of Jacques Vallée's musings on mysterious phenomena and their ability to convey messages to individuals in profound yet elusive ways. I still hope to have a sighting one day, not to capture photos or video, but simply just to confirm their existence for myself. Until then, these experiences have remained unforgettable.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
1981, Denny, California. By Jumpy Onion 6367. When I was a little kid, we moved from Southern California to a cabin in the backcountry, way past a tiny town called Denny. We had no running water, no electricity, and no indoor plumbing. My dad used to make extra cash packing supplies for people who lived even deeper in the backcountry than we did. My dad was, and still is, a bit crazy. He always carried a .45 on his hip, and kept a shotgun on his saddle in case of bears or rattlesnakes. He wasn't afraid of anything, and most people were afraid of him. One day, he went on a supply trip to deliver goods to a friend of ours about 20 miles from our house. He took his horse, two fully loaded pack horses, and a mule. The round trip usually took 3 days because of the rough trails. He left at sunrise that morning, and everything seemed normal. Then, around midnight, my dad came charging into the house, white as a ghost, terrified. He had his shotgun in hand, which he immediately handed to my mom. Without a word, he started locking the doors and windows and closing the curtains. Then he grabbed the rest of the guns and handed them to my older sisters, telling them to shoot anything that tried to get in. This all happened in a matter of minutes. My dad grabbed his large hunting rifle and went back outside to secure the animals. Within moments, our dog started going crazy, barking furiously, and the mules and horses began braying and whinnying in panic. Barely managing to get the animals into the corral, my dad suddenly came under attack. Rocks began pelting the house from the darkness. He fired a couple of random shots into the night and ran back inside. For the next few hours, rocks continued to hit the house while we huddled together in the main room. Occasionally, we could hear heavy footsteps circling the outside of the house. The animals were in complete chaos, their cries echoing into the night. Finally, as the first light of dawn broke, the attack stopped. The rocks ceased, the animals quieted, and the terrifying footsteps faded. My parents waited until the sun was fully up before stepping outside. The place was a mess. Tree branches, rocks, and debris were scattered everywhere. Fortunately, the animals were unharmed, but the pack contents had been flung and strewn all over the place. Later that day, my dad told my mom what had happened. He'd been about 12 miles from home when he noticed a horrible smell in the air. Soon after, the animals started acting up. Then the tree knocks began, followed by rocks being thrown at him from the woods. At that moment, he knew he had crossed into their territory, and they didn't want him there. He turned his group around and began heading back home. But whatever they were followed him. Their aggression only escalated as the night went on. He estimated there were about 5 adults, and they were furious about something. My dad was convinced they would have killed him if he had stopped anywhere on the trail. Over the years, living in the Denny area, we had multiple strange experiences, but this one was by far the worst and the most terrifying.
My Encounter, Washington, 2004, by Butterfly Wings, 1986. In the autumn of 2004, I was living in a mobile home with my mom in a slightly rural area. It was either September or October, and my mom had gone to work. I was lying on the unfolded futon in the living room, watching a movie. I didn't have to leave for work until around noon, so I was just relaxing. For reference, our mobile home was a single wide. The living room was at one end and had a lot of windows. Next to the living room was the kitchen, followed by my mom's room, then the bathroom, and finally my room on the other end. Behind the mobile home was a fence, about 6 to 10 feet from the wall, and beyond that was somebody else's backyard with a small yappy dog. That morning, mid to late, I was alone in the house, enjoying some personal time. The dog in the backyard started yapping its head off, which wasn't unusual, so I ignored it. But then I heard grunting, really close to my head. At first, I thought that the dog might have found a partner, if you know what I mean. But the sound was just far too close, almost like it was right next to my head. That's when I realized that the window behind me was open. I then heard a voice speaking in what sounded like another language. It wasn't just strange, it sounded obscene and somehow disturbingly sexual. Panic set in. I grabbed my old school flip phone and I bolted to the bathroom. As I ran, I caught a glimpse of something out of the corner of my eye. It was a head of dark hair, darting past the kitchen window in the direction I was running. I tried calling 911 from the bathroom, but being in a rural area in 2004, I couldn't get a signal. Somehow I managed to reach a friend, and she called 911 for me. While waiting, I heard banging on the walls and on the door of the mobile home. It sounded like whoever was outside was running around the entire trailer, slamming into everything as if they were trying to terrify me. Well, I was terrified, and I ran into the kitchen and grabbed the biggest knife that I could find, then retreated to the bathroom. Moments later, there was a knock at the front door. I yelled, "Who is it?" I heard two voices respond, identifying themselves as police officers. I cautiously cracked the door open, and sure enough, two bored-looking cops were standing in the driveway. I explained everything that had just happened, but they didn't seem concerned. They didn't even bother to check around the back of the mobile home. Instead, they just stood there in the driveway, chatting about something entirely unrelated. Eventually, they left without investigating any further. I then called my mom. I told her about what happened. Now, I was too scared to walk all the way to the bus stop, which was quite a distance from the house, so she came home to take me to work. Before getting into the car, and feeling more curious than scared since my mom was there, I decided to peek around the back of the mobile home. What I saw made my jaw drop. There wasn't anyone there. But the realization hit me like a ton of bricks. For me to have seen the top of that person's head as they ran past the window, they would have had to be at least 8 feet tall, if not taller. Nobody could achieve that height while running unless they were standing on something, and there was nothing to stand on. The ground behind the mobile home wasn't flat either. It was very steep until you reached the fence. To this day, I have no explanation for what happened or who or what that was that I saw that morning.
Wood Knocks by Chew82Boo. I live in East Tennessee, about 20 to 30 minutes west of Knoxville, and roughly an hour and 20 minutes from Newport. I'm about 2 hours from the North Carolina border, which might be slightly important for my theory. Last night, at around 1 a.m., I got hungry and decided to go out for some food. I took my time, driving around for a bit, and didn't get home until about 2:15 a.m. As soon as I opened the car door, I heard a very loud boom. It sounded far off, but it was different enough to make me stop and listen. I waited a few seconds, then got out of the car. I walked up the road to pick up something that had fallen out of one of the cars. After tossing it into the back, I was just about to close the door when I heard another boom. This time it was much closer. For context, my neighborhood is set up as a cul-de-sac, on a ridgeline surrounded by heavy woods. Behind the houses is a very steep hill that drops into a small valley, no more than 20 to 30 yards across at the bottom. Beyond that is another steep hill covered in dense woods, essentially two ridges, one with houses and one with trees. That first knock had come from beyond the far ridge behind the house. The second knock came from the ridge directly across from my house. Hearing that second knock, I started to feel exposed and anxious. I made my way down the steps toward the house, but as I did, I heard movement across the street, near my neighbor's house. That spooked me, so I hurried back to the door. Before going inside, I stood there for a moment, trying to calm my breathing. Then came the third boom, off to my left and near the beginning of the neighborhood. The rest of the night passed uneventfully, but this morning I went outside to clear my head. I needed to convince myself that what I'd heard wasn't what I thought it was. About 7:45 to 8:30 a.m., I heard more knocks. They were spread out, some close, some far. I've never heard anything like it before. Those first three knocks I heard during the night, they were massive. The ones this morning weren't as heavy, but they were still loud. I talked to my dad about it not long ago. I was shaking the whole time. Turns out, he heard a knock around midnight when he got back home from work. He said he was sitting in the truck, like he always does, when he heard it. It made him pause and think for a moment, so I'm glad I'm not the only one who heard something. Being in East Tennessee, and with the hurricane blowing through the easternmost part of the state, I wouldn't be surprised if they ran from the storm. I've never heard anything like this in all my time living here, and honestly, I didn't think I ever would. Where I live is a pretty good spot for them, if they're around. There's plenty of resources here. I just hope they don't cause too much trouble.
Years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Locals Storytime by Constant Penn, 6597. About 15 years ago, I visited my friend's grandparents' farm way out in Willow Creek one summer. The grandparents didn't have that much of a farm left. It used to be sheep, then cattle, and then eventually just small livestock, chickens and a couple of goats. However, they still maintained a downsized garden where they grew things for the family to enjoy. The grandfather was especially excited about the cantaloupes, which were almost fully ripe on the vine. He kept saying how we'd have fresh cantaloupe for dessert before my friend and I headed home in a few days. But we never got to enjoy a single cantaloupe, thanks to Bigfoot. The morning that we were leaving, we woke up to the sound of Grandpa yelling and cursing out in the garden. We ran to check on him, worried because he was the sweetest man I had ever met. My friend said that he rarely got upset. But when we got there, he was fuming, throwing his hoe on the ground. He then turned to us and shouted, "Goddamn squatches! Got in my goddamn garden again, and now the bastards are mocking me. Look what they did to my beautiful melons." In the middle of the garden, the cantaloupes had been picked and stacked into a perfect pyramid shape. On each of the stacked melons, there was a huge human-like bite taken out of the middle. The best part of the fruit. Grandpa's frustration was palpable, and honestly, I didn't blame him. My friend's grandparents lived way out in the middle of nowhere, with no neighbors for at least a mile, maybe more. The rugged country was far too dangerous at night for anyone to sneak around and pull pranks, because bears, mountain lions, and bobcats were a real threat. The garden was fenced off to keep deer out, but there was a gate that something or someone could get through. I had never encountered Bigfoot before, but growing up as a Humboldt County kid, I had heard all the stories, visited the museum, and brushed off Bigfoot as fake. But standing there, looking at those stacked, bitten melons, I couldn't deny what I saw. Those bites were massive. There was no way that a human could have made them. No local animal, not even a bear, could have stacked the melons in such a perfect pyramid. At first, I accused my friend and grandpa of pulling a prank on me. But the grandpa wasn't amused. He started telling me stories about Bigfoot from when he was a boy. He said he used to think that the stories were just old native folklore until one night when he swore he heard a Bigfoot throwing rocks at the barn. No one was in the barn, and his parents and siblings were asleep inside the house. But something big was out there in the darkness, hurling rocks at that barn. Grandpa said that he recognized the sound because he and his siblings used to throw rocks at the barn themselves for fun. The next morning, he told his dad about it, and his father simply replied, "Son, never disturb a walker. You just keep the lights out and never go outside if you hear that again." Sure enough, when Grandpa checked the barn, he found holes in the walls and rocks scattered on the ground. He said that experience taught him to never go outside at night unless it was for an actual human emergency. Looking back, I realized that explained why Grandpa locked the house up so tightly every night. I had assumed it was just because he lived in the middle of nowhere, but I knew better. That experience made me a believer. It took me 23 years, but after seeing those cantaloupes and hearing Grandpa's stories, I was convinced. I never went back to that farm again, and honestly, I'm good with just that one Bigfoot story for life. I know that the locals out there probably have plenty more stories, but I'm perfectly content with mine.
My Dad is a Believer by Nick the Nail, 1324. I was going to a sports game with my dad and little brother, and we started talking about things that we believe in that may or may not be real. The conversation started with ghosts, to which I said, "I never much believed in the supernatural, but I believe in aliens. In fact, I think I heard or was near one once." I began to tell my story, and after hearing it, my father said he believed me, but didn't think what I experienced was extraterrestrial. Instead, he thought it was a Sasquatch. He didn't want to explain or go into more detail, because he didn't want to scare my little brother. He's pretty young, so that made sense to me. I wanted to share my story and see what you guys think. This story takes place in eastern Pennsylvania, right by the Tohickan Creek in mid-May. It was a scout trip, and a friend and I were staying up late playing some cards. It was our responsibility to go down at 3 a.m. to check on the guys who were keeping fires going for their vigil ceremony. If anyone knows what that is, hello, brother. If not, it's not important. To stay awake, we had some card games going and a couple of energy drinks. Around 2:45 in the morning, my friend and I hear a very loud sound. I've always described it as being like the sound of some chopper motorcycle. The odd part, though, is that A, it sounded as if it was moving directly over the top of us. And B, there's no road that runs past the building we were sitting in. The only road near us turns off left from where we were. And we would have seen it heading down the hill if a motorcycle had been there. After the chopper sound moved over us and stopped, both of us were pretty freaked out. We grabbed our flashlights and headed down in the direction the sound had moved, toward our friends and the creek. As we made our way toward the creek and the friends keeping their fires, we heard a weird screaming sound. It had an almost gurgling quality to it. It was loud and repeated over and over. I'm a big guy, and so is my friend, and it was dark, so we weren't moving very fast. That scream kept repeating for a few minutes, at least. I've been outdoors my entire life, and after that night, I've gone and listened to audio of every native and even invasive animal in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. Nothing sounds like what we heard that night. When we reached our friends, they were all right. One of them said he hadn't even heard the noise. Granted, his fire was nearly out, so I wouldn't doubt if he fell asleep. I wanted to push deeper, toward the creek, and figure out what was making that sound, but my friend convinced me to head back in with him. To this day, I sometimes think about that night and can still hear that sound in my mind.
Realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
That was a lot of fun. I'm really glad that we got to share all those Bigfoot stories.
Yeah, I like Bigfoot stuff. But like I said last episode, it's just cool having a themed episode in general.
Mm-hmm.
I like how we share such a wide variety of stuff, but this feels all fun and special.
Yeah, it does. Plus, with it only being about Bigfoot, we don't have much trouble getting back on topic when we trail off.
Yeah, that is a notable perk. So I guess just jumping right into it, nothing substantial to really say, when do we ever, but I noticed a lot of the same behavioral patterns in some of these stories. I don't know if you picked up on some of that.
I noticed that too. Some of my stories had rock throwing in it.
Yeah.
And then two of yours had the same thing.
Yep. The loud booming knocking sounds too. Bigfoot's one territorial fellow.
Yeah.
I can't say I blame him though. Or her, I don't know, I say him, because my brain has always defaulted to Harry and the Hendersons whenever Bigfoot comes up. It's not a gendered thing. Don't overthink it.
Yeah. It's the same for me. And off the top of my head, I can't think of any other movie where Bigfoot is a lead character, so I don't blame you.
Okay, so there's a show from the 70s called Bigfoot and Wild Boy. But as far as I know, I'll get into that in a second. But as far as I know, that isn't a household name or anything. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no way you've heard of Bigfoot and Wild Boy, right?
I've never heard of this.
So full disclosure, I only found out about it because I got all excited about the episode and went on a Bigfoot rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And it was okay. A lot of the episodes are on the Internet Archive. So to answer the question you didn't ask, yes, I did watch some. I was just going to click through and get a gist of it, but I saw there was an episode called UFO. I ended up watching most of it.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm looking at screenshots right now. I actually like the Bigfoot design that they did. Was it any good?
I liked it in a bad movie way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A 70s TV show with Bigfoot and aliens. It's hard to hate. It has heart.
Yeah, that era was so silly.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, Harry, one of the few Bigfoot faces we actually have in pop culture to sort of fill in the blanks when we picture Bigfoot.
Yeah, definitely. Before I saw that movie, I would always just visualize Chewbacca or some other Wookiee. I think probably from hearing people compare Chewie to Bigfoot.
Yeah, yeah, that's a thing too. Funny how both of those Bigfoot associations are lovable goofs, but obviously any real Sasquatch that may exist shouldn't be taken lightly. Hats off to them. Respect.
Yeah, they're terrifying, but I think we can all agree that there's something majestic about them, or at least the idea of Bigfoot, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. Bigfoot roaming the woods like a tiger roaming the jungle. That was a bad purr, never mind.
Exactly. It's crazy to me that we haven't found any substantial remains of what could only be attributed to some sort of Sasquatch creature.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. There's so much more incentive for zoologists or whoever to uncover or present something groundbreaking than there is to conspire ways to hide it from the public. I think we would have found something, like you said, more substantial by now if something was out there. But I'm hopeful there could be a reason. Maybe their bones dissolve into the dirt. I don't know.
I like that. You caught yourself.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, I've always kind of thought of Bigfoot as being some kind of interdimensional being. That's why we're not finding any remains of them. They just kind of phase in and out of our reality. They're more of like a supernatural being.
Okay, yeah, like a hybrid cryptid type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Or there could be some kind of conspiracy at play. You can't rule that out.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think of the whole moon landing thing, like, I like the idea that it's all a conspiracy, or like the Earth is flat. That's what I meant to say, the flat Earth thing. I think it's a cool idea to think like, oh wow, wouldn't that be something if it really was flat all along? But there's so many people the science people, whatever you want to call them,
scientists.
They would be dying to be the one to be like, aha, I told you.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, I know a couple people that are flat Earthers.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, yeah. And you know one of them.
Oh, boy.
And she told me it's because they don't want us believing in the Bible, because I guess the Bible mentions the four corners, the four edges of the earth or something.
I know I've heard about that one.
Yeah, yeah. But whatever. I digress. I can't see an obvious incentive to hide Bigfoot. Like I can with aliens and UFOs for national defense purposes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always like the probability of at least some secret technology to keep under wraps.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know. Maybe Bigfoot shares enough DNA with us that the government breeds them in labs, trying to selectively breed superhumans.
I can actually see that. And if that is the case, all you'd really have to do is genetically modify Bigfoot to have like 90% of their usual hair, and get them properly socialized when they're young. By the year 3000, they'd blend right in, and the average height in the country would be like 7 feet tall. That'd be cool.
Yeah, 3000, wow. That's really hard to comprehend when you actually think about it. The leaps that we've made in the past 50 years are hard to even fathom, but I really can't picture what life would be like in 1,000 years, if we'll even be around.
I think about that all the time. What life will be like for the last surviving humans. It's not going to be a fun time.
Do you even think we'll make it to the year 3000?
If we start taking better care of the environment yesterday, preserve natural resources, and manage not to nuke ourselves into stardust, sure.
Yeah.
there's a fighting chance.
So no.
No comment.
Yeah, Bigfoot would make the perfect environmental vigilante.
Hey, good way to bring it back in, back on topic. Here we go. But yeah, good point. It's probably time to retire Smokey the Bear, swap him out for Bigfoot.
To be fair, the wildlife situation has been pretty out of hand in recent years.
I know. What the hell is Smokey even doing?
I have no idea. Better send McGruff the crime dog to investigate.
Hey, that could work. I'm sure he golfs with the Supreme Court, so we'd probably get to see some Roger Rabbit thing of Smokey the Bear getting grilled by Congress.
Smokey just nervously sitting there trying to save his job and protect his legacy.
Ted Cruz screaming 3 inches from his face.
You better explain these forest fires, Smokey.
McGruff just like sitting there all smug, feeling like the superior anthropomorphic cartoon.
Kicks his feet up and lights a cigar next to AOC. My work here is done. What are you doing later? Get it together, Smokey.
Well, Smokey, if you are listening, consider this your fair warning. Get it together, bub.
Yeah.
Prevent those wildfires, and maybe Bigfoot can form something like an anti-litter squad instead.
Well, we're really assembling the Avengers here.
Yeah. A little more cheerful than the end of the world.
True, true. But I am glad that the paranormal, true crime podcasts and chill crowd, they seem to embrace at least a little doom and gloom.
Yeah, that's a good point. It doesn't all have to be sunshine and rainbows, or on topic, apparently.
Yeah, that JonBenet Ramsey documentary is really good. That new one that came out. Did you watch it yet?
No, I haven't.
Hey, it's not funny. But anyway, I'll just go ahead and finish my thought about the year 3000 stuff.
By all means.
So it's nothing too deep, just that if humans do make it to the year 3000, I really do think it'll probably be some cyberpunk dystopia, but obviously it won't be as cool as it looks in Akira or Blade Runner, what have you.
I know. It's just going to be everyone in Crocs, but they always romanticize cyberpunk worlds to look so rad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's so instead of resisting, we all act excited when we see the signs.
Oh, yeah. Neon signs. In a gritty, narrow alleyway filled with hidden gun shops and massage parlors.
Patrolled by RoboCops.
I mean, Tesla bots are a thing. Good call.
Yeah, I'm glad that we could do our part by manifesting this end of the universe more than it already has been.
Yeah, like 80-year-old lawmakers who screw over everybody else's future and don't care because they'll be dead.
Yeah, and apparently hate their grandchildren.
Naturally.
Yeah. Well, oh, okay, let's get back to Bigfoot.
Yes, good idea.
Bigfoot, so he probably knows what's up, and that's why he doesn't want to say hi to us. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's what I was saying about him being territorial, probably super annoyed and sees humans as solicitors coming to his door when he's just trying to get some dinner, you know? Like, we're in his territory, he has every reason to be pissed off.
Yeah, I look at it that way too.
Have you seen that video of some sort of primate that's like running around all scared on some machine where they're like destroying the forest?
No, it sounds wild.
It's so sad. I'm legitimately tearing up thinking about it. No, it's so sad. They're just tearing down this rainforest. I'm assuming it's a rainforest, whatever.
Yeah.
And there's like some sort of orangutan type of thing running away and trying to like get out of there. I imagine Bigfoot must feel similarly, but I think he would F us up.
Yeah, I agree. That sounds really depressing. I don't want to watch that.
Yeah, no, don't watch it.
On that note, thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah, might as well.
And make sure to send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails for ad-free versions of all our episodes. We'll see y'all next week. Everyone, stay safe.
Peace out.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at spinquest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.